It's not a club, but at the same time, we treated it like one.
Ryan's buying shots. I said, you better shut up.
I'm about to clap back.
I've never seen that at a baseball game.
Hey, hamburger.
Is there such thing as too much TikTok? It's party life. Oh, it's a party. Let's go, Paulie.
What's up? How we doing? If you're a big time listener of the show here, hopefully you are watching, listening, whatever you're doing. But YouTube, we're trying to grow. So we'd appreciate it if you hit that subscribe button. Give us a big thumbs up on this video. Appreciate you as always.
Yes, for sure. And if you don't follow us on TikTok, go over there, give us a follow. But talking about TikTok.
Yeah.
I was on TikTok the other day. Recently, I've been surprisingly not on it as much, which is good, I guess.
I'm glued to it. I noticed the other day I cannot stop.
Is there such thing as too much TikTok?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but TikTok is a great resource.
Yeah, but you can go down the rabbit hole, man. I mean, any social media, you can really go down that rabbit hole. And it's not as, I don't think it's as poisonous as like Twitter. Like if you go down the Twitter rabbit hole, it's not the best.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But I was on TikTok and I never ever go on TikTok live streams and scroll. But that is a different universe, TikTok live streams. I had, the first live stream was someone was in jail, just making their TikTok live in jail.
Classic, yeah, it's a good one.
Didn't know they had TikTok in jail. Next one was a, was in the next one. The final one was a card show. I mean, I was all over the place on this TikTok. There was an ASMR video that followed. Some girl had a microphone and was like, crackling with her nails on the microphone. She was
ASMR. Yeah, absolutely.
Me kisses, saying "Go to night, go to sleep, go to sleep." It was the craziest, adventurous thing of just scrolling on TikTok live. I don't know if you do it.
I saw one recently. It was a guy. He had the potato filter on, and he was a DJ. I'm like, what is happening,
dude? It is a roller coaster of emotions on TikTok live.
It's so fucking weird.
You don't know what you're gonna get. So I don't know if you ever find yourself on TikTok
live. I'm not on TikTok live a lot, but when I do, I get absorbed in the eggshell thing.
Yeah, you did say that.
We've talked about that. I did it. I was on a TikTok live the other night. The eggshell. It's just super frustrating. I literally don't know how
people.
Why
are you really stuck on that? It's something you enjoy.
Something like that. And then the other thing that I really get annoyed with is it's like someone at work or someone sleeping. And if you give them whatever like the emoji is, it makes a noise on like in the scene. So it's like, oh, like try to disrupt me at work or try to like try to ruin my sleep. And it's like someone trying to go to bed, but every time they get a gift, it's like a siren goes off.
Dude, people do anything for attention.
It's
these
crazy.
Days.
I mean, that's the whole point where they're trying to get money. So if it's like attached to something, every time a siren goes off, they get 50 cents. They're like racking it in.
Like I saw that stuff on Twitch all the time. People yeah. do IRL streams and they have a speaker attached to them and it's just like text to speech. But I can't imagine that many people are doing it, but it's a lot.
People realize what's going on. Oh, or the rocks. You know, like the rocks in the sand. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I literally don't know what's going on here, but I see it everywhere where it's people and they're like these rocks and then they have this like pit and then there's like sand moving around and they're like moving the rocks.
A Zen garden?
I don't know what's going on, but it's crazy. I see it everywhere.
And you just get stuck watching. Like, I was watching that ASMR lady who was blowing me kisses, whispering me to go to sleep and hitting her fingernails on the mic. And it was like so soothing, but very weird. And then I found myself on Saturday. I'm just a TikTok live guy now. I found myself on Saturday. It was college football. So on like a college, not on a college campus, but around college town, there's liquor stores and those liquor stores are buzzing. I just saw the liquor store guy, the cashier, just went live and was recording his interactions with, like, who was buying what? What were they doing? I thought it was the most fascinating thing, seeing, like, who bought what alcohol, who asked for what behind the shelf, who has to show ID and who doesn't have to show ID. I was watching it for 25 minutes.
Yeah, people are talking about how social media is going in the direction of, like, people want less influencers and more, like, everyday jobs where they want to be involved in like everyday jobs. And that's something as simple as the cashier at the liquor store, right? Where it's like, oh, I'm curious to see what people like order or buy. Or if you're, you just do like a job that's not normal, people would rather see you work on the job and create TikToks on the job and like explain what you do more than if you were just an influencer living like a nice, luxurious life.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's what I've been hearing. So, I mean, social media ever changing. Don't get trapped down the TikTok live stream.
No. So, speaking of luxurious lifestyle, me and Paul live it.
Good segue, baby.
Apparently, we do live that luxurious lifestyle now. We've kind of gotten caught up in the recently other shows with, like, we've had some guests on. We've talked about some other topics, but we haven't really caught our fans up, you guys at home, who we appreciate on our lives. So recently, I think it was a couple weekends ago, maybe last weekend, me and Paul did some cool shit together. So we're going to go down a couple of those things, talk about those. The first thing that we did, Paul, was that my company has tickets to the Yankees game. Sweet tickets, four of them. And I asked my boss, I said, hey, do you think I could get them? Thinking I was, so it took a lot of
courage.
It took a lot of courage for me to ask because I was like, there's no way he's going to let me get these sweet tickets. Four rows off the field, Yankee Stadium, Yankee side of the field. And he was like, yeah, sure. So I had an extra ticket. Someone dropped out. It was me, my brother, my dad. So I said, Paul. Well, actually, I didn't say, Paul, do you want to go? Paul said, hey, if you're looking for someone to go to the Yankees game, I'll go. So Paul ended up meeting us there. And Paul, how sweet were these tickets? We walked down. Yeah. I mean, we didn't belong in that section. So we go down Yankee side. I think our tickets for face value per ticket went for like $460.
Yeah, it was like $400 as I looked up face value later that night.
We sit down, comfiest seats ever. And what's unique about our row, I mean, we're four rows off the Yankees field. Aaron Judge is right there in right field. And the weird thing about our seats is that they were spread out and cushioned.
Yeah.
Like you could tell that this was the VIP area. But Paul, that wasn't the best part of the tickets. Let the people know what the best part of the tickets were.
The best part of the tickets were your private little suite area of food, bathroom.
Yes.
Private bartender.
All
you can eat food. Like that was the luxurious part of it. Obviously you're close to the field. So your viewing is like great. Yes. Ryan was saying we were down the first baseline, kind of in the middle of first base and where Aaron Judge would stand in right field. And the seats were just cool though, because the seats were a little bigger. So you got to like spread out a little bit more. Each seat had a little side table.
You were excited about that.
Which was like, oh my God, it's the best thing in the world. Like when I get food, if you get like hamburger, you get chicken fingers, we were getting these pizzas, like these big boxes of pizza. Like, it was nice to have that little table.
It was.
So how to put food in.
How the suite worked is because when I think of a suite or a box, it's like up top, you're like in air condition or whatever. This was underground in the stadium.
Yeah.
So in our little sections, we would go underground. And once we go underground, it was almost like a nightclub.
Yeah.
It was like you had your own bar with your own bartender. You have all-you-can-eat food. It was like a pure buffet where you just grab chicken fingers. You grab chicken sandwiches. You could grab a burger, pizza, ice cream. They had their own soda fountain.
Yeah.
Where you just grab a cup, fill it up yourself. It was living that luxurious lifestyle. The person in front of us, that guy was eating crab legs.
Yeah, dude.
I've never seen that at a baseball game where someone was eating crab legs. You can get sushi. The only thing that wasn't included was the alcohol at the bar, but we had our own bathroom. And what do you think? We were splitting it with about 50, 60 people?
It wasn't that many people. It was probably like 50 people. It was like, you know, five or six rows. And I think the bathroom was like amazing. And the fact that you didn't have to go all the way up to the top to back on the main concourse was really nice. And like, I mean, yeah, like you had to pay for drinks, but at the end of the day, if that's all I was paying for, and like they got your parking for free too.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to pay for parking.
And parking in New York Yankee Stadium is $45.
Yeah.
But I think you and my brother had everything on the menu.
When you're in that type of situation, when the food is free, you got to pick out. Like we were like, okay, what's here? We have 9 innings. How can we figure out to eat the most?
Yeah, I think what did you have? You had the pizza. That was a little escapade, the pizza.
Yeah, the pizza, you know, they said plain, but there was like a bunch of
cheese pizza and there was like onions on it.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff on it. But the pizza, I had like 3 things of popcorn. I got churro bites.
Yeah, you had this specialty order, the churro bites.
Yeah, and that's what's nice too. Like you have a waitress, just like a box kind of, you would have a waitress who, instead of like the waitress for your box, she was kind of walking around and she was just for your section. Yes, so anything that was on the buffet or a few items that weren't on the buffet too, like in the suite area where the food was, you could just kind of raise your hand, point her out and be like, hey, and there was menus. When you sat down to the seat, there was like a little menu of everything.
Yeah.
So instead of, I mean, I could have easily, I take 2 seconds to go up and get the hamburger from like the buffet area, but I could have been like, hey, hamburger and she would have just got it for me instead of like I wouldn't have had to get up. So
it was awesome.
It was awesome.
I mean, I've sat way up there at Yankee Stadium. It's hard to get a close ticket for cheap. We didn't belong in those seats. It was too bougie for us, but we appreciate that day.
It was a cool experience overall.
There was a rain delay, and then we ended up going out. But like, okay, we got to wait for the rain delay. The rain delay was a little lengthy. So
it was like an hour.
Yeah. So then we came back. It was the seventh inning. We watched the seventh inning, the eighth inning, the ninth inning, tie game. It's getting late. It's time to go home. As we're driving home, we're listening to the game on the radio. The Yankees win on a walk-off grand slam. and we missed the ending.
Yeah.
So we would be remiss not to tell these guys that we did miss the ending. But it was a fun, dope experience. Hopefully, if Life's a Party has some more success, we can continue to live that bougie lifestyle. Let's talk about what else we did that weekend, Paul.
We did a lot of cool things. One, I had a bunch of friends down here from North Jersey. I moved up to North Jersey recently for a job, and then I went to school up there. So a lot of my friends live up there. And last year, we ended up bringing everyone down. Currently, where we do the set is my dad's house. And my dad has a nice backyard pool. We have a lot of open space for people to like bring air mattresses and that kind of thing. So I had a bunch of my friends with that friend group, and they came down and kind of spent the weekend here, which was super nice. We had a party on Saturday night, and they came down Friday after work. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? So we ended up planning out, and we went to Philly. And I wanted to do something different. Like, I mean, obviously, you could do plenty of different bars in Philly, just a different city. We usually go out in like Morristown, or we go down the shore, or we've been to New York like once or twice, but usually it's just like too busy. And I was like, okay, well, we have a buddy who is a bartender and a waiter at a bar in Philly. It's called Spin. And Spin, its little specialty is that it's a ping pong bar.
Yes, it's a ping pong bar. Been there, so I was excited to go.
Oh, you've never been there? That was your first time there?
That was my first time.
Oh, yeah. So I've been there twice. That was my second time there. I went a long time ago. But it's just cool. Like, it's different. I kind of put it in the same category as, like, a Topgolf. Or, like, now they get these, like, miniature golf places that you can, like, drink. It's just, like, a little...
Topgolf's a good comparison.
Yeah.
You get your own little bed. You get your own table. Around the table, you got your lounges. You got a bucket of ping pong balls. You're ordering drinks. They have a bar in the middle. Our buddy that works there that hooked us up with a free...
Like, a free, like, room, like, a space.
Yeah, free room. So, shout out, Tabor. We appreciate you. Shout him out. He said that bar... And that spot is becoming a little bit, you know, word of the episode is coming a little bougie.
Bougie.
He said when, like, these professional athletes come and play, like, the Sixers or they come to play the Eagles and they're looking for something to do that's different in Philadelphia, he said Spin, the ping pong bar place, is one of the top destinations where these players would like to do because it's something different.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It was cool. Well, we got, like, a little private room that was right next to the bar that its own private TVs. Had like a private couch, which was different from the rest of the place too. So for 2 hours, it was like a blast. It was just like 2 hours. We had like 14 of us in that little area. But a lot of us were at the bar. We were eating. We were drinking. It was just a good time overall.
So I will say this about the ping pong Spin place. I pre-gamed before I got there. I was a little smacked up. I don't know who came up with the idea of playing ping pong hammered. Very difficult thing to do. I didn't score a single point. I was seeing three balls coming at me. And I told my buddy who works there, who hooked us up with the room, I'm like, dude, I don't know if this is like a good idea. Like playing ping pong drunk is a hard thing to do. I can't keep the ball on the table. And he's like, well, Ryan, you're supposed to be a little bit more responsible and laid back here.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not supposed to be ripping shots and getting shit-faced and playing ping pong. He's like, you're supposed to be a little bit more, you know, reserved, more mature here. But why I didn't really... get my potential as a ping pong player.
It's not a club, you know, but at the same
time, I'm ripping shots of Patron trying to return Roger Federer's serve, and it's not going well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a club, but at the same time, for some reason, we treated it like one.
Yeah, we did.
Like, I mean, to be completely honest, I mean, we drink and stuff, and like a lot of my friends, like, we drink pretty heavy, but at the same time, there was no reason that we were that drunk at that place. It just doesn't make sense. Like, we were playing like casual ping pong. And then, as you said, Ryan was buying Patron shots for everyone. I bought a round of tequila as well for everyone. I think we did like four or five people. It was like a $60 bill.
Well, that was also the problem.
I'm like, we're at a ping pong bar. What are we? We're not at a club. Like, why are we doing this?
So your friends are nice.
Yeah.
I like your friends. I was connecting with one of your friends specifically. And we were talking about sports and like our occupations line up pretty similarly. So I'm like, all right, you want to get a Patron shot? Let's get tequila.
I mean, that's a nice thing to do.
So
yeah.
The problem is that from when I said we'll get a shot and to the bar, it's a long distance. So as
like
I'm
10 feet.
So it's a long distance for me. So as I'm on my way to the bar, he mentions that I'm buying a shot to someone else. Then word of mouth starts trickling.
I want a shot. Yeah, of course.
To the other friends and the other people who are there with us. And before you know it, I'm at the bar, and I went from buying one extra shot with mine to buying fucking 8 of them.
Yeah.
At one point, your other friend was like, yo, Ryan's buying shots. I said, you better shut up. I'm like, no offense, but I'm not getting him one. He's like, it's on you.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard when a lot of people see what's going on, but you want to be involved. And at the same time, like, I'd always buy my shot. Like, if you were like, hey, like, we're splitting it, it's hard.
I was like, all right, 8's the cutoff. Yeah. No, we'll get one more. I'm like, no, it's fine. I'm drawing a line in the sand.
Or in your
you
case.
You wanted to get him one, you buy him one.
Well, the best thing with Ryan, I always think this is funny, is Ryan literally verbally said after he bought all the shots, he said, all right, everyone's got to buy me one. That's how it works in his world.
Yeah, and people got mad on TikTok because we did that debate where it's like shot for shot. If I buy you a shot. It's that unspoken rule where it's like, you owe me one.
It all depends.
But it wasn't unspoken for me.
You were like,
I bought 8 Patron shots. I said, you owe me one.
I mean, that's expensive. Patron, especially at the bar. I mean, I did a round of shots. Like I said, it was $60. But we were hammered at that place. We ended up coming home. We ended up swimming in the pool for a little bit. You went home.
To give you an understanding of my condition at spin.
I
was doing a little more than spin. I took the shot of Patron. Ran immediately to the bathroom, and I threw up in the toilet.
Really?
Went right into... I don't belong out in these nice places, man. I don't belong there. I belong in an alleyway.
I feel like it was such a nice
brown
place.
Brown paper bag.
Yeah. Give it to me. I mean, definitely good time if you're looking for something different in Philly. It was a casual place. We went on Friday night. It wasn't too packed.
No, I put it on my story. I got like 4 people slid up. And was like, I love that place. Spin's so cool. Ooh, what is that? So if you haven't been to a ping pong... alcohol place, a ping pong bar. Check it out. You might have one near you. But yeah, that was fun.
Might have one near you.
Just don't get too smacked up like I did.
So that was Friday night. And Saturday night, I wanted to do a party. So I'm like, we're going to do a party at my dad's house. It's going to be pretty low key. You know, I've been living up North Jersey for over a year now. A lot of my friends are up there. So it's like, I still wanted to try to connect with friends around here.
I don't think it was low key.
It was like low key. It was like 30 people.
It was low key bumming.
But that's what's fun, right? Like, everyone still came out. Because we're 25 years old.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're not having, like, house parties anymore.
No.
So we're going to a club or we're going to a bar or whatever. And then, you know, there are a lot of people that still like the house party vibe.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're included,
it's
right?
It's my favorite kind of party is the house party vibe. You save money and you play games, Paul. That's my favorite thing to do when drinking. You had this party at your dad's house at the studio last year. And we did the same thing this year. We went out back. We set up like 3 or 4 tables. We have people gambling, drinking, playing can jam over there. We have people playing Pong over here. We have people playing titty ball flip cup over here. I love just to be active and drinking.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to drink, let's have some fun. Let's play games. So that you can get smacked up quicker. But I did enjoy that we were constantly playing games, constantly interacting, because that's my kind of party.
And the thing is, because we're 25, a lot of us don't have houses yet.
No, we don't.
So, like,
I need one of those.
That type of party, I think, is rare right now in this age range. But it was a good time. My dad has a pool, so some of us were swimming. We were swimming earlier in the day.
It was cool watching people come in here and, like, appreciate the studio.
Oh, that's true, too.
We kind of
take
this for granted sometimes. We come in here, and it's like, but if you really look back, it's like, oh, shit. Like, we got a full-ass studio in here that we get to provide a good, fun show, hopefully, for you guys at home. But people come in here, and they're like, wow, this is actually cool. Like, I've seen it on YouTube, I've seen it on TikTok, Instagram, but to like to see it in person and to sit in the desk and like a celebrity.
Yeah, so the party,
a
lot of people were coming around like 7:30, and then most people left around 2:30. And the thing is, I think it was around 12:30 when everyone just kind of started coming inside.
Yeah.
I think we were in here, you know, we brought like 1 or 2 people in, we were showing them the set. They were talking, they were in our seats, like, you know, joking around, having a good time.
Yeah, my chair was a little messed up. I saw someone posting pictures in my fucking desk.
Yep.
I don't know how that happened. I'm going to have to put caution tape up next time I'm out of here.
But they started coming in, checking out the set, and then by the end of the day, like, I saw, like, everyone in this room. And then...
And they're, like, recording videos.
I mean, everyone was having a good time, appreciating it. Like, It was great.
Paul's like, watch the equipment.
But then I'm making sure everything's okay, and then everyone's just having a good time, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Everyone, we're all pushing out of the room. So we got everyone out, but it was cool to see everyone appreciate the set. Yeah,
dope. So that was that weekend. Paul, some news dropped this week.
That's very true, baby.
What news dropped?
So D23 Expo, if you don't know about this.
Tell me what that is.
The D23 Expo.
That sounds like some insider information. Sorry.
Is basically, it's a Disney event. It's a Disney fan event. It's held in Anaheim, California. It's usually every 2 years, but because of COVID, the last one was held 3 years ago. So this was a really big deal. And there, you know, Disney does a lot of like presentations throughout the course of the year because they do like investor days. They do Disney Plus Day.
Well, they're a public company, so they're they have to have like those advertising meetings. They have to have those investor meetings, et cetera.
So they're like usually, you know, Disney knows how to perform and they're for those investors, but like this is a fan event. Like this is to appeal to the fans. The fans are in the room. It's super hard to get in. Like I saw a story that somebody was there at midnight and the presentation was like 10:30 a.m. and they were on the wait list. Like they didn't even get in immediately. They got in like a half an hour or an hour after the event already started.
Wow.
So just to show you,
pay for those tickets, or does it work as like a raffle?
I have no clue.
A lottery, because like Jimmy Fallon's a lottery.
I think you have to pay to get in. I think like it's a weekend long thing. Each day Disney dedicated to something different. So like I think Friday started on Friday, and Friday was like Disney live action, Disney animation, and Pixar. And then Saturday was like Marvel, Lucasfilm, and 20th Century Studios. And then Sunday was the parks panel. So it was like Disney parks and all of their news.
So they already had it.
They had it last weekend, yeah.
But I feel like they just announced it, didn't they?
They announced all the stuff at the panels. Like that's like their celebration and they do the big announcements.
Gotcha.
The crowd goes wild and then all the stuff floods to social media.
So
you were getting like all these new trailers and all this new stuff.
So my question to you is, from what you found out, what are you most excited for, Mr. Paulie Marvel?
Yeah, the big stuff, I love Pixar, and I'm always interested to see what like Pixar is doing. They have a new movie coming out next year. It's called Elemental. It's kind of like there's like fire people and water people, earth and air, and it was like I think there's like a metaphor in there, but it looks really cool,
like an Inside Out vibe.
Yeah, like I don't know, just like this world building. Like Pixar's so good at world building. That's why I love Coco, Monsters Inc. Like they're really good at that kind of stuff. So this is just like a new environment. Inside Out 2. That was a big announcement. That was like their big thing. Just because it's already a property that people know. Yeah. And I think Pixar's been struggling at the box office. With Lightyear, they didn't do too well. And the last two films prior to that, Disney put directly to Disney Plus. So they're like, we need something big to come back at, to back to the theaters to make sure, you know, we are the box office hit that people think we are. And so that was announced. I think that comes out like 3 years from now. Amy Poehler, who plays Joy, she came out and did like a big announcement. For Marvel, they didn't do anything like super big because they had Comic-Con and San Diego Comic-Con, which was a few months ago.
Yeah.
So they released like a lot of information at San Diego. So but they did pull out like a bunch of trailers, like Secret Invasion. They pulled out that trailer. They did. And they have exclusive stuff just for the panel too, where like they don't release those trailers and only the people in the room see them.
That's fire.
So like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, it's the third Ant-Man film. Like that was a trailer that was just shown to the room. I love Ant-Man, so like I want to see that trailer. They got more information about like the villain of that film, which is Kang, and how it ties in more with like their plans moving forward. Lucasfilm, they had some news about Ahsoka. So if you like the Disney Plus shows, from Lucasfilm and Star Wars, but the Disney parks, like that's what I was excited for.
Yeah.
And they did a live stream for that. So you could like watch the whole panel.
Oh, I saw they're bringing back the fireworks show.
They are. They're bringing back Happily Ever After.
I am the Disney guy. I did see that they're bringing back the fireworks show. It's probably the wise thing to do.
People are very excited about that show. Yeah. People were excited. Happily Ever After's back. But they didn't have anything too big for the parks. They were talking about a lot of international parks, like Disney, Tokyo Disney Sea. They have like a whole expansion of like Peter Pan and a Frozen attraction. And then
I saw someone comment that Tokyo has really good monorails. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know about the monorails. I mean, the Disney parks in Tokyo, like Tokyo Disney Sea, is known as the best Disney park in the
world. I was going to say, because we get a lot of comments on our Disney content, and like almost everyone, there's someone mentioning the Tokyo park.
It's just because the way it's like, it's financed, where the Oriental Land Company owns, like they're paying for a lot of the stuff. So like Disney doesn't even, I don't know if Disney owns it outright. There's like something, even with the Chinese parks as well, they own like a percentage of it and they don't own it like fully outright. But like Tokyo will, that Oriental Land Company will finance all of their projects. So like a lot of times in the States, they have like budget cuts or they're not putting a lot of money into the parks. And that's like a Disney decision. But Tokyo's like, here's all the money.
Yeah.
Like just build something amazing. And it's then like they go back and forth.
They can pay all these great golfers in Saudi Arabia. They have... Well, yeah. that's just my comparison. Yeah, that's like just how I understand.
There's all this money, and they're like, just build it. So the Imagineers really like went to work, and they showed why they're so great because they weren't constricted with this like very small budget, like they've been having it out in California or right now in Walt Disney World. Like there wasn't that many announcements for Walt Disney World, and it's like we just had our 50th anniversary, and there wasn't that much new. Like you had Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and it's in Epcot. It's an amazing roller coaster. People keep talking about it. My mom was on it. Like, she doesn't even like roller coasters. Somebody, like, kind of snuck her on there.
Snuck her on. Living her best life.
They're like, oh, here's this new ride. And then she's like, oh, I don't want to know anything about it. I want to be surprised.
Here's a 20,000 feet drop.
But she enjoyed it. She's like, I'll never do it again, but it was great.
And I'd be interested for us to maybe do a deep dive into, because you were talking about creators and Imagineers in Tokyo. I'd be interested to see what they've come up with in a creative way in Tokyo, you know? Like, well, what ideas have stemmed from Tokyo?
What do you mean? Like, what, like...
As in, like, park ideas, or as in even movie ideas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, I mean, they're American...
Because not everything comes from the U.S., I would imagine.
But they're... No, but they're, like, American engineers. Like, they're, like, the Imagineers from the Walt Disney World Company, which there are a bunch in different countries around the globe. Like, I'm not saying that. But a lot of them are coming in-house from the States.
And then they go,
and then they go out there and they present ideas to those parks specifically. And then, like, for example, like when, I don't know what the newest park, I think it's Shanghai Disneyland. Like that, I think that's one of the newest Walt Disney World parks. And because, like, they had a lot of the Imagineers who were Chinese were, like, talking about how, like, certain things that worked in the States might not work in China. Like, based on the park. Like, oh, like, this IP is not popular in China, so we can't... We like the ride, but we have to change it around to a different IP. Or, like, you know, this might be culturally insensitive, so we got to, like, change this a little bit just based on the country that you're in. So, like, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of back and forth. For the United States parks, the biggest announcements were... It was crazy because people just talking about it where there wasn't that much announced, at least for the parks in the States... Really, Walt Disney World, there was, like, nothing announced, which is crazy. But they had these, like, ideas. So there's this thing called Blue Sky Concept Art. So it's called Blue Sky, and it's basically, like, a piece of art that kind of shows a larger idea of, like, something they might be working on. So, like, Pandora, for example. Like, Pandora and Animal Kingdom, they're like, here's a Blue Sky Concept Art of, like, what we have. And this was before it was built. And then you kind of get like, oh, look, what are the Imagineers thinking about? What can this land be?
Yeah. So, yeah.
So they have that, right? And they kind of like threw like new blue sky artwork out, but it doesn't make any sense. Like they just wanted to give you something to talk about, where at the end of the day, everyone in the community has been saying they don't think any of these projects are going to happen. They're like, they were just trying to feed the beast of like the Disney fanatics where... But at the end of the day, like, they have nothing.
Well, here's another comparison. We're going to do a sports comparison.
Okay.
Sports and Disney. So, GMs and front office of teams, like a basketball team like the Sixers, we'll use for an example. If they have a problem with the player and they want to trade him for something else, and that player is well-liked in Philadelphia, they'll leak out potential trade offers to different media outlets. Just to try and see what the public's perception is on if that were to happen. So maybe that's what Disney's doing in that, hey, we're going to give these guys a little bit of like what this idea is. And if it catches fire and people are tweeting about it, people are making videos like, oh, this could be a good idea for Disney, then they'll implement it. And then they'll use the funds and the ideas to implement that into the parks. It's the same thing what GMs do in all sports, football, basketball, baseball. They'll leak out potential trades, see how the city reacts to it, see how sports writers act to it, and then they'll make their decision from there. I mean, they'll always deny that. Like GMs or even course, the CEO of Disney will be like, oh, no.
No, we had this in the book. This was in our plans. But there were two main ideas. One was for Animal Kingdom. If you ever been to Animal Kingdom and go off to the right, there's like Dinoland USA. And Dinoland is a big piece of like the thesis statement for Animal Kingdom, talking about like real animals. And we talked about this on the show. It was like real animals, mystic animals, and prehistoric animals. And that's like Animal Kingdom. Like that's why there used to be a land that there was an idea for. It was called Beastly Kingdom, and it was like mystical animals. It never happened. And because the budget for Animal Kingdom like spiraled out of control when they built it, that's why Pandora works in that park. And like the world of Avatar, because it's mystical. And Avatar, the movie in general, is about conservation. So like it really worked in that park.
Well, there's a new Avatar coming out.
Yo, there's a new Avatar coming out. They just announced that they started filming the fourth Avatar, which is crazy. But they have Dinoland USA, and that, you know, it's a lot of people don't like it. So they announced new blue sky concept art for a new land that could go in that area. And the land is basically a combination. It's like a Moana attraction or two, and then Zootopia.
Fuck yeah, I love Zootopia.
So now you think, right? Zootopia. I love Zootopia too.
Great movie.
They are building a Zootopia land out in, I want to say, Shanghai?
I'm going. Shanghai, here I come.
So, cool, right? they're building that, and there is something coming. But people think Zootopia... Yes, it's animals, but it's not animals.
It sounds like you're hating on Zootopia.
No, I'm not hating on Zootopia.
You say it doesn't fit in with Animal Kingdom?
It doesn't at all.
How does it not fit in with Animal Kingdom? Because there are animals that are...
But they're not.
Animation though. Animals talking.
Yeah, but that's
how
not
that
it, though.
How is that not Animal Kingdom?
Because it's animals, but...
we're going to put that
in
Epcot.
But it's animals in clothing, and it's animals going to jobs, and it's animals with cities. It's literally... Zootopia is a movie... about people and people's problems.
Avatar are blue people.
Yeah, but it's
what are we talking about?
About people's problems through the lens of animals. It's using animals to like showcase these metaphors in society. It's not about animals, so it doesn't fit in that land. Avatar does though. Avatar completely fits in Animal Kingdom because it's mystical and it's about conservation. The whole plot of the movie is that you have humans coming to this other world, basically trying to take over and destroy nature. Where like Animal Kingdom is about nature, it's about animals, it's about like all of that stuff.
You gotta put some goddamn respect on Zootopia.
So Zootopia's great. It doesn't fit.
Where does Zootopia fit?
Probably
Animal Kingdom,
Hollywood Studios. Probably Hollywood Studios.
Oh, you put it in the worst fucking park.
No,
are you kidding me?
That it fits in that park.
No, it doesn't.
Or if it's in Magic Kingdom, probably something in like Fantasyland somehow.
I'm trying to think of something that's in Animal Kingdom that contradicts your...
It doesn't fit in Animal Kingdom. Moana, absolutely not. Oh, there's water. Okay, great. Doesn't fit in Animal Kingdom. I'm sorry.
Over the water.
Then you have this second piece of concept art. This was cool, but I don't know if it really fits here. It was a combination of a bunch of things. It was like they announced a Coco village and attraction.
I like that movie.
An Encanto attraction.
I didn't like that movie.
And like a villains themed area.
That's just all your opinions.
Yeah, he's awful.
Encanto is not a good movie.
The idea of an Encanto attraction, I think, is amazing. Like, if you do a trackless ride system, it's very similar to Mickey and Minnie's, where you go into the different rooms of the casita and see, like, a bunch of, like, oh, you see Antonia's room, or you see Maribel's room. Like, you see these different rooms. I think it's an amazing attraction, and, you know, Encanto was very popular, so it works. But the way they did the land just doesn't make any sense. And then they threw out this idea of like a villains theme land.
Why are you looking at
no, because
me when I'm putting my chapstick on?
Ryan's like, no, don't go to me. I got my chapstick.
I was literally like, all right, give me 3 seconds, like, put my chapstick on. Then Paul, that's the one time he looks at me.
He's like, I'm about to clap back real hard. Ready for this? No, but they...
You don't fuck with Zootopia? I'm going to learn today.
They threw out this idea for a villains theme land. And they said, oh, you know, Josh Damaro, who's the parks chairman, or the chairman of Walt Disney Parks. I don't know his official title, but he controls the parks. And he was like, we've been hearing about you guys talking about like your need for like a villain's ride or a land or something. So a very long time ago, people were talking about they should make a fifth gate, like a fifth park. And it should be like a Magic Kingdom, but for villains, like the Dark Kingdom.
Love that idea.
Super cool idea. I mean,
who came up with that?
I don't know, but it's an amazing
idea. I
was
about to say, I did.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But good like, idea. What like the idea of a fifth park that would be like the Dark Kingdom, which but would be
that's a negative condensation. Is that the word?
Condensation is no. What is negative, like water on water.
Whatever that C word is. Oh, not that C word.
Not that C word.
It's got a negative aroma.
Condotation. No, still no. Wrong.
You'll get there.
It's but got, yes.
Paint a negative picture. No one wants to go to Disney World and then go to negative land.
Yeah, but, yeah, but you don't have to make it negative. Like, people love... The whole idea is they do Mickey's Not So Scary, right? And they bring out all of these, like, villains. They bring out the scary stuff of... You know, their scary stuff isn't really scary. They'll bring out like Hocus Pocus, and they'll bring out Jack Skellington from like Nightmare Before Christmas. And then you have like, you could bring Jafar and the Evil Queen and Maleficent, Cruella, like all those classic Disney villains. I mean, you have plenty of material to fill an entire theme park. Like, I think shoving it into a land is a bad idea. But I think when they're ready for a fifth park, which eventually they will be, they do need... People always talking about like Epic Universe because Universal is building Epic Universe down in Orlando, and they're like, "Well, Disney should build another park as well."
Are the villains worth prioritizing?
I think they need their four parks as it is need help. I think you know Hollywood Studios got a lot of help. Epcot's currently in its renovation. Magic Kingdom's pretty good. I don't think Magic Kingdom needs anything. And Animal Kingdom, I think Dinoland. Once you hit Dinoland, other than that, like I think, and Epcot's done, I think you could move on to a fifth park. I think every park is pretty good. They could always be improvements, but like give us some more. I mean, you have the capacity to do it. You have the space down in Orlando, but that's
D23. I'm excited for Zootopia. also over the weekend, football's back. And when football's back, that means professional gambler is back. Right, guy.
Oh, God. I saw this.
You saw this, Producer Drew?
Yeah, I saw this on your Insta.
You didn't ask for any money left, so if you don't know, if you don't follow me on Instagram, I hit a parlay, which was four legs, which this is gambling talk. I picked four guys to do four different outcomes. I picked Jonathan Taylor, who's a running back for the Colts, to rush for 105 yards and score a touchdown. Simple, Paul, right?
Simple,
then
yeah.
Then I also
sure.
took the best receiver in the NFL, Justin Jefferson, to get 100 yards, score a touchdown. Simple, Paul, right?
Simple, sure. Simple.
Next guy is Ja'Marr Chase, second best wide receiver in the NFL. Just pick the good players, Paul. That's the mindset. 100 yards and a touchdown. Does it. Then you know what? Fair, you know, let's get the third best receiver in there for shits and giggles. Davante Adams, 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. Put $25 on it. Didn't think much of it. Won $5,000.
That's a pretty solid bet.
Am I now a professional gambler or am I not? I know Paul talked about this on the show. I know have a lot of knowledge in sports gambling. We are flirting with the idea of having a sports gambling show, or not just a sports gambling show, but gambling in general, because there's so many different avenues and ways that you can gamble, from the casino to sports to daily fantasy. So it's something that we may be doing upcoming. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, so stay tuned for a future episode. But yeah, one quick $5,000. Good start to the NFL season, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, great start. We'll see how the rest of it
goes for you. Giants won as well. Was excited about that.
Eagles won as well. the NFC East looking good. Cowboys in last place. And that's just how we like to see.
That's all that matters. Cowboys should not be America's team. That's actually a title of one of our episodes.
And I agree with that fact. So
Eagles
yes.
won, Giants won. You know, we should maybe resurface, maybe do a little quick retweet. Our Eagles man on the street.
We maybe should do that.
Maybe
yeah.
repost that if you haven't checked it out.
We're looking into more man on the street stuff. I would love to go back to different sporting events, or even go in Philly, or you know, we pick a cool location that people are going
to
be at.
It doesn't have to be sports. It could be no. like a, or it could be a sports bar. We can go to a brewery, a winery.
Yeah, you could get a lot of really cool answers there. So if you're interested in more man on the street stuff, let us know. Comment section, give us some ideas. Yes. We'd appreciate it.
So speaking of fun weekends like we had the past couple weeks, we're going to go down a list of some things that maybe you could do on the weekend. We're going to let you know what we've done, maybe what you haven't tried yet. Like maybe you didn't think there was a ping pong bar.
Maybe.
You didn't. And now you know about it. So maybe you should go try it out. So we got a couple of these. We're going to run through a few. The first thing that you can probably do on the weekend, Paul, is see a movie or a play. So my first question to you, Paul, is which one do you prefer? Do you prefer to go to the movies and see a movie, or do you prefer to go to a play and see a live action play?
I think it's all different. I think a movie, it's simple. Like, you could go by yourself. You don't have to plan it. You can go any time of day, usually. It's down the street. It's cheaper. Just do it, right?
Spontaneous.
I'm not a big fan of plays. I'm a big fan of musicals. And I think, honestly, finding a really good musical that you want to go see, you know, they're not always playing. Usually the ticket's pretty pricey, even if that's not on Broadway. That could be any local community theater or a city theater, or if you go to Manhattan, you see something on Broadway, it's going to be pricey.
Aren't most musicals, most plays musicals?
No, there's like a musical, which has...
All right, then give me an example of a play.
Like Anne Frank has one. I don't know what the title of it is.
I don't think I've ever seen a play.
There's a lot of plays. Yeah, it's like very famous.
Like there's Broadway, there's plays. Yeah. There's no music.
Yeah, just... It's like a two-hour play.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Yeah, that's...
But like high schools, they do musicals.
So high schools can do plays as well. Like Sterling, we went to Sterling High School. The idea is a lot of times you would do a fall play. So your theater department would put on a play in the fall, and then you would do a spring musical.
Look up some plays, Drew. It's interesting.
Yeah, look up famous plays. I can't think anything on the top of my head, but
is it like a Shakespeare, like Williams and Shakespeare?
They're plays, yeah. I mean, that fits in the bill. I did plays in college.
Did you?
Yeah, I did Antigone. That was like a Greek play. I did Antigone.
I wonder what the percentage of play to musical ratio is on Broadway.
The thing is, musicals bring in more money because they're just more popular. But real theater people really love plays. I mean, there's
still music at plays. It's just not dialogue isn't sung.
I don't really think so.
This is a weird distinction. No, I never really thought about it.
There's really no music involved. No.
So a couple of them I can give you is Hamlet, A Streetcar Named Desire, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Boom.
Those are a couple that you have right there.
Yeah.
They're not popular.
But for me, I think a movie, just cause it's, you can do it spontaneously.
I think musicals are slept on. One of my favorite things to do is to go to New York. And you talk about this when you go to New York and maybe you get there to that ticket box early and you get tickets cheaper.
That day of.
I think you've seen a couple more musicals or plays. I mean, not a couple of. You've seen more than one in a day, right? You've done that?
I've never seen two Broadway shows in a day. I would love to. I think that's...
I saw SpongeBob. I saw The Lion King. You know, I like to see the classic. But yeah, I like them.
All right.
Next one is
throw an unplanned party.
I feel like all the great parties out there are unplanned.
They are a lot of things have to click for it to work. A lot of things got to go right. You got to find a place. You got to have people willing to go. You got to have people willing to spend money to go get alcohol.
But if it's unplanned, it's not themed. And I prefer a themed party, which I haven't done recently.
Yeah, but we didn't do a themed party this week, like 2 weekends ago.
This guy's getting a phone call mid-show. Yeah, so I do like theme parties, but I will say that I haven't been to one recently. The one that you just had wasn't themed.
No.
What was the last theme party you went to? I don't know. I've done like sports teams where you do like a beer Olympics, and then the four members of your team, usually two girls, two guys, you dress as a sports team.
Yeah, that's normal. We've done a whole episode like on different themes. I always like the Adam Sandler theme, or you do like the Joe theme, and everyone has to be like a different Joe from pop culture. So I do like theme parties, but an unplanned party, I do agree they are a pretty good time.
But they can get out of hand sometimes.
They can.
The invitations start flying out all over the place.
Well, everyone's like, it's like, yo, we're just having a party. You free tonight? Like, bring everybody. And you got 10, 15 people you haven't talked to in 5 years swing through the door. Like, that's the thing that happens. So sometimes it really works out, and sometimes it does not.
All right, what's the last thing that you could do on the weekend, Paul? That could be fun.
Last thing for us, we love talking about golf. I'm a big fan of getting drunk and going bowling. So you can go to the driving range or go bowling.
Yeah, they're both great spots, so I don't want to pick one. Driving range is good if you want to just get away, hit some balls.
I think driving range, if you go by yourself, driving range is a really good place to, like, clear your head.
I agree.
Like, it's an amazing, like, relaxation thing just to go by yourself.
Just go decompress, hit some balls. If you suck, maybe it's not a good thing to go decompress. No drinking involved there. So if you want to do something without drinking, both of these options are good options. Go bowling with friends. You don't have to drink to have a good time bowling. You don't have to drink going to Top Golf, hitting some golf balls, or going to the driving range.
But you can.
With Top Golf. And I sure as hell am.
Yeah. So. Top Golf's pretty good with friends. And I think bowling with friends, getting drunk, I've always talked about it. Big advocate for that. Some of my best times bowling is when I get absolutely hammered.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, have yourself a weekend. Honestly, go out and see if there's anything different around your neighborhood.
There's a lot of sports going on. Baseball.
Yeah.
Football's going on. College football. A lot of shit going on. Go to a sporting event, even if it's a minor league game. Sporting events are always a vibe. Tailgate. It's like a whole event, whole day planned. Go check out a game.
Absolutely. But that's going to do it for us. So make sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We're trying to up our numbers there. Give this video a big thumbs up. if you liked it. We love you guys sticking around to the end of the video. It means a lot to us. But as always,
music, take us out.
See ya. Peace.